Acts chapter 3, hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Time, but to be able to support certain other preachers around this country and even in other parts of the world, and one of those persons is here today, and Kristen Brewer is here with his wife Cynthia and his three children. And he's preaching in Huntington, West Virginia, and has been for a number of years, in an area of the country where there aren't so many churches and there aren't so many Christians. And I guess in an area where it's what we call more of an uphill battle maybe than what we see around here, an area that we're not used to. And Kristen and Cynthia go back a long way with this church. They happened to be in school at the same time Holly and I were, and some others in this audience, and some others of your residents here when they were here. And a lot of great memories of them, a lot of special ties that we have to them and their family. Most importantly, we know their character, and we know what they stand for, and we can have confidence in the work that's being done by God through Kristen in that area. So we're thankful to have him with us today. Just want those of you who didn't know that to understand he's a man we support. Thankful to have him here, and we'll have him come forward now.
I know that every congregation has ups and downs over the years. I know that there are difficulties that arise sometimes, but it is so good to see so many good faces that are in this audience. Jared mentioned that we were here for about 4 years and moved away 10 years ago this year. And it's encouraging to me to be able to see some of the same people that were such an encouragement to us when we were college students here, still here and being an encouragement to the college students that are coming through now. And also it's an encouragement to me to be able to see so many of the good friends that we had and did associate with as college students, and they were college students, who have had the opportunity or made the opportunity to stay here in Auburn and to take on that same kind of a role, to be an encouragement to those that are coming through. And I just hope that those who are here as college students enjoy the benefit that you have in those older folks and younger families that are here and offer themselves to you as an encouragement. And I know that they put a lot out there on the line for you because they were doing it 10 years ago when we were here. And so I'm so thankful for that. We live in a college town now. I was always impressed with the kind of work that went on in Auburn and was kind of drawn to the idea of a college town, and the opportunity arose for us to move to Huntington, West Virginia, which is the home of Marshall University. Some of you may have heard of it. It's not a real large university. But it's an interesting work, much the same way that I think that the work here goes forward. The difference is we don't have 60 or 70 college students. We're fortunate if we get one or two college students that come to Huntington. We have about 30 members right now. We started the work, this is just starting our sixth year in Huntington. And so things have progressed well, and if you want to talk about some of those things with me or hear more about that, I'll be happy to talk with you after the services this morning. I am thankful for the financial support that you send to us, and I know that along with that comes a lot of prayers and encouragement in other ways as well. This is one of the places, for example, that I know I get some cards occasionally from the children's classes, and it makes us feel good to know that people are talking about us and remembering what we're doing in West Virginia. It's a long way away, and I know that you probably don't have a lot of contact with folks from our area in other ways, but it is such an encouragement to get those little cards and to understand that people are thinking about us and praying for us in our work in Huntington. And I solicit those from you. It's always so encouraging to hear those things. I was also excited to hear that Larry was coming to work with you guys. I've heard a lot of good about Larry over the years, and I know that he's going to be a great blessing to you in the work here. I want to talk to you for just a few moments from a passage in Acts chapter 17. If you would go ahead and turn in your Bibles there to Acts the 17th chapter. I'm going to apologize for my cough. I've been fighting with this for about 3 weeks now, and I just can't seem to shake it, but hopefully it won't interfere too much with what I have to say this morning. I hope you can get past my cough and hear the message that I have for you this morning. Let's read just a few verses. In Acts chapter 17, beginning there in verse 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go." I want you to think with me for just a few moments about this particular verse in this passage in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, where we're told, "But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" You realize that when the Jews had this to say about the apostles and the first century Christians, they didn't mean that to be a nice thing. This was a derogatory statement. They were saying, "These people are troublemakers. These people are upsetting everything around us. They're disturbing the peace, our contentment, where we're happy." And the Jews were content. They were happy with exactly where they were, and they didn't like the fact that somebody was going to be coming in there and telling them that they had to make changes in their lives. They didn't like to be told that they had to change. And if you think about the world that they were living in, their world was being shaken up. There was a lot of things that were happening that was disturbing what they were used to around them. Does that sound familiar? Aren't people today the same way as most of those Jews in the first century? Don't people have the same type of attitude? People today don't like you to come and tell them that they have to make changes. I mean, think about it. If I polled and asked you to show hands this morning, how many of you would raise your hand if I said you enjoy having someone come and tell you that you're wrong about something and that you have to change? I'm thinking I probably wouldn't get very many hands if I asked a poll like that. We don't like for people to tell us that we have to change. And most of the religious world around us, and those that are not religious, are happy with the places that they are. They're content. Huntington, West Virginia, at least at one time, I don't know if this is still true or not, but at least at one time, had more churches per capita than any other place in the country. People are religious there. You would think that that would be an open door of opportunity. I mean, I'm religious and you're religious. Let's sit down and talk about the Bible. But you know, that's really not the case. Because people are so happy